Good evening. On tonight's episode of Retina Weekly,
we talk about, you know, the usual pop culture news, movies, TV, comic books, including the release of Squadrons and Star Wars Squadrons, and what else? The new season's coming up, and movie
premieres getting delayed.
Yeah. You know, and COVID and et cetera,
The ush.
Yeah.
So, what's going on?
Okay, let's talk about the news. And what everybody's talking about this week is if there will be a new season of Cobra Kai. Yeah, and there will be a new season of Cobra Kai.
Mm-hmm. There'll be two new seasons, right?
Well, one is announced and they confirmed, I mean, they released the date for January. Is that the...
Yeah, so season three is confirmed for January 8th.
January 8th. And they announced that there will be a season four.
Yeah.
So that great fight between those loud Democrats and Republicans. No, I'm kidding. Those Cobra Kai's. And what's the name of the other side?
Miyagi-Do.
The good guys. Yeah.
Or are they?
Well, they not go breaking stuff of everybody.
It wasn't a Cobra Kai who kicked a kid over the railing.
But the Cobra Kai started the fighting, right?
I mean, kind of. I don't know, but that's one of the interesting things about this show. Like, on the surface, it's pretty easy. Like, and there's a lot about Cobra Kai that's pretty bad, and a lot about Miyagi-Do that's pretty good. But, like, the kids themselves, all the characters really, are very nuanced and are struggling with all kinds of issues.
Yeah, well, so, the teenagers, you know.
Yeah. Yeah, but also, you know, Billy and Daniel-san.
Yeah.
Are struggling with their own... their own inner demons and
well,
their own
better angels. Billy is lost in time. Who's Billy?
Who is Billy?
What are you talking about?
I don't know.
William Zabka.
Yeah.
Since what's the character's name? Lawrence.
Johnny.
Johnny Karate.
Oh my gosh.
You know, Johnny Karate was inspired by Johnny from... Yeah, anyways.
Yeah. Oh, my brain.
So, yeah, Johnny is lost in time. So... I don't know. I think Daniel grew up more than Johnny.
He did, and he had a much better shot, but he still has these temper and anger issues that are causing problems for him and for Johnny, and especially for his daughter and students. And Daniel's daughter.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm just checking.
The only one with a daughter.
You here.
Anyways, I'm just saying... it's not nearly as simple as good guys and bad guys, which is a big part of the appeal of the show.
Yeah,
I think, and the great strength of the show.
Yeah, even though some things that seem to be complex, it's like goes back to, you know, Romeo and Juliet. I think couple that started in the beginning, the impossible couple, and was split. I think in the end they're gonna be together somehow, and I hope they do it well.
We will see.
Because, you know, it's a big thing, see?
It is.
The kids of enemies, I mean, sort of kids, because Miguel was not Johnny's kid, but sort of is, since he doesn't have a father. Yeah. Which brings up a rumor that was on the internet the other day, that the bad guy in Karate Kid 3 could be Miguel's father.
Interesting.
You know?
Okay.
The guy that... Cobra Kai is the way. He was like, you know, crazier than, and he trains Daniel.
That's right, very briefly.
Because Mr. Miyagi says no more training, Daniel-san, no more karate championship. Anyways.
Yeah.
So.
But with two guaranteed seasons, that gives the writers time to develop some. Like, really develop some good story arcs and...
Yeah.
Like, really take it somewhere.
Yeah, but Cobra Kai with Lucifer put the Netflix on the top of the Nielsen chart on the top 10. And who made the chart finally this week was Disney and Amazon. Disney with Mulan and Amazon with The Boys. So, yeah.
We gotta finish that.
Yeah,
or go back to it.
We also have to go back to Lucifer.
Yeah, we got a lot to do.
And Mulan, nah, we're gonna wait.
That show is one of the biggest disappointments. I was so excited for that movie. The trailers looked incredible. But I have yet to hear anybody enthusiastically endorse it.
Yeah.
And that's aside from the whole, like, ethical and human rights issues surrounding the
film. I mean, the fact that Disney...
The fact that it wasn't even that great a movie.
The fact that Disney forced people into paying extra... $30, whoever watched it, it's like it had to be extra great for someone that's forced into pay, already paying subscription, forced into pay to say, oh, this movie is great. It's worth paying subscription and it's worth paying the extra $30 for a movie that you own, but you don't own only if you have a subscription.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, nope. But it made the charts among the top 10. It's not a top one.
Okay.
But, yeah. A little bit more about Disney. It was announced this week that it's going to be a sequel for Lion King.
Yeah. Oh, yes. And what I heard, it's not so much a sequel as it is a prequel.
Really?
Apparently it's supposed to be like Mufasa's origin.
Okay.
So like going back to Mufasa and Scar, which is good. Like
this a little is actually, bit better than a sequel, yeah.
Yeah, because they've done sequels.
And I mean, if Lion King live action was, it was soulless. It was, some would say it wasn't necessary. It was just like,
it was so unnecessary because it was like shot for shot.
Yeah.
It was, yeah.
But again,
all due respect to John
Favreau. Zack Snyder did that with Watchmen. They did a lot of that in Man of Steel. I mean, Man of Steel not so much his original story. I mean, based on the comic books, but it's more original than Watchmen. That he didn't change much, even though he did change quite a bit. But Miller, Tarantino, and those guys also did that on Sin City, and it was beautifully done. It was, you know, exciting, and even for, I don't know, the fact there's a adaptation shot by shot the same, it doesn't diminish the quality. On The Lion King, yeah.
It just made it really unnecessary. If it's going to be that close to the original, then why did you make it? Especially because the first Lion King was so good with that incredible score and great cast.
Wait, did you ask why? Games.
Yeah.
Money.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, either way, with this, if the rumors are true, that this is a prequel going back to Mufasa and Scar's origins, then this is actually something worth making and worth seeing.
Yeah, okay.
Because this is like something new. It hasn't been done before.
I'll be definitely more curious about it than, you know, a sequel. What happens to Simba and his daughter? And
yeah.
Nala and... You already know what's going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like if you're going to make another movie... I don't mind people expanding universes and all that, but give me something new and worth watching.
They might explain how Scar got the scar.
Right?
Or maybe they will
Why do these brothers... Well, it's obvious why they hate each other so much.
Or
Scar
maybe,
wants to be king.
Or maybe...
But...
Or maybe they will not explain the scar at all. You know, like the whole prequel universe where they never explain Anakin's scar. They had plenty of chances and they did. So maybe Scar will never be explained.
That's true. It's kind of implied, though. I think we'll get an explanation for
it. Sure. I mean, his name
is Anakin,
Scar.
I think it just showed us, like, oh, man, he's been at war, and it's changed him.
Or maybe Amidala was so feisty, that's like, wow! In his face.
You're like, what happened to Nick Fury?
That was so ridiculous.
It was such a disappointment. The great Nick Fury lost his eye to a cat.
Disney, Marvel, MCU, take ownership of some things, making jokes, and some jokes are funny, and sure, let's laugh.
Yeah.
But some jokes was like,
I feel like that was so too stupid. Far.
Yeah.
That was too far. And some mystery boxes need to stay closed.
No, there was a war injury, and I mean, I guess the original Nick Fury was back to World War II.
He
used the super serum too, the super soldier serum too, mm-hmm. And yeah, well, this one was a cat.
Yeah, I'm just like, how? I just think it would have been so much cooler if it was always a mystery.
Mm-hmm.
Like, why? What happened to his eye?
Yeah,
it adds to the whole like mystique and the whole his vibe and everything else.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, so there's that. A Lion King sequel. Also, Disney had to lay off 28,000 employees this week. That's true,
from Disney.
Mostly from the theme parks and the cruises and stuff. Yeah. So some ups and downs for Disney.
Yeah.
Okay.
About the financial struggle during COVID times. AMC, not the network, the movie theaters, is also struggling, and it lost numbers on its credit evaluation, whatever they call it. Yeah, anyways, it might getting closer to default, so yeah.
That's too bad.
Yeah.
All right, so basically we're going to be seeing ramifications and consequences of this for years to come. Since we were talking about Disney, we've got some news for the MCU. And the return, maybe, of Jamie Foxx?
It's not maybe. Electro. It's a thing.
Well, I guess the question is, like, is it exactly the same, or is this a different version of the character?
The what we see out there is that he is, de facto, the second character from the a different Marvel universe, you know, the Marvel universe built by Sony on Amazing Spider-Man movies. So he is the second character that's moving from that universe to the MCU universe. The first one wasn't from the Amazing Spider-Man universe. In fact, he was from the Spider-Man movies, Sam Raimi movies. And it was Jonah Jameson, portrayed by the great J.K. Simmons. And he was shown on
That's right. Far from home.
Far from home.
No. It was homecoming.
No, it
was far from home.
Yeah, at the end of Far from Home.
Yeah.
So there we have this second character, which goes towards the whole multiverse aspects that we keep hearing that Marvel was going to develop. You know, they already mentioned a little bit on Far from Home. And there's WandaVision coming, and Doctor Strange is literally called the Multiverse of Madness. So all that they might grab.
So it does seem pretty likely then that Jamie Foxx's Electro,
would be
like the same Electro from the Andrew Garfield Sony.
Pretty much.
Movie, and not like a different version of the character.
I mean, on the Morbius trailer, we see posters that reference the Tobey Maguire Spider-Man. We see Morbius, and then at the end of the trailer, we see Michael Keaton from the MCU Sony. I guess because it's still Sony, and it's also MCU, I guess they can find ways to bind things together, because, you know, it's good for everybody.
Kind of nice.
Yeah.
And it works with the whole Wanda multiverse.
Yeah. And Sony benefits from connecting this in a larger way, because once the agreement with Marvel ends, you know, they just said, okay, bye Marvel. And they already have their Spider-Man, their villains, all connected or not. And they already did a Into the Spider-Verse movie where different dimensions, different Earths, if you may, of Spider-Man's were connected and shown and explored.
Yep. So fun.
Yeah.
I'll always love Spider-Man more. That was a very unexpected treat.
It's like, for me. Nicolas Cage, I'm the Spider-Man Noir and I'm gonna steal the Declaration of Independence.
Classic.
Okay, what else do you have?
Some more good news on the superhero adaptation front. J.J. Abrams is, it looks like Abrams / Bad Robot are for HBO Max are going to be doing a Zatanna and Constantine show or movie or something. I'm super into this.
That would be cool, yeah. Those are great characters, especially when they work together. They actually, I think, if I remember correctly, I think they actually officially married. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, in OCW shows, and they like to explore his gay bisexuality. It's not clear. On the shows, he's more like gay, right?
He's pretty bi.
Does he have anything for any girl?
With Sarah.
Sarah they doesn't count, because Sarah is also a character that was...
Why does Sarah not count?
Because she was... they changed the character drastically. She was straight in the beginning of Arrow, and then they said, and she had this big romance with Oliver, and they suddenly changed for
was
her
a big
for
romance, her lesson. Or was it like a stupid teenage fling?
No. I'm not talking about the beginning of the show when she comes back to death. She is the love of Oliver's.
Oh man, yeah. Talk about a serial monogamous.
And then they changed that completely. Basically, I mean, you know, shows do that all the time. They never remember that Leah Remini's character on The King of Queens had a sister on what was the pilot, the first season, you know. Completely erased of existence, and they do that all the time.
Yeah, you know? But in this one, like, they've talked about it. They had a relationship. I think they're both in the CW Arrowverse, whatever the Legends of Tomorrow version of Constantine is.
But
bi.
Yeah, but even though he never had, did he?
We just said.
With Sarah, but Sarah again.
A girl.
It's a girl, but they changed her so anyways.
But her different sexual attractions have nothing to do with the fact that she is a girl.
I know.
And they were like into each other enough.
But did they have a thing?
Yes. Not well, like a serious relationship, but like they did stuff together.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, I guess she did it like everybody else. Anyways. But yeah, so they're gonna explore the relationship, the serious relationship he has with Zatanna. I mean, or will they? Who knows? It's still, you know.
Yeah, we don't even know if it's gonna be the same, if he'll do a different version of Constantine, which I personally would like to see.
I think
as
so.
Good as much as I'm enjoying Legends of Tomorrow.
HBO Max, I think.
HBO Max, I think he could really do something different and special, and I'd like to see that. Yeah.
I don't know. CW put off the Crisis thing where they had everybody from HBO Max to DC Universe, which is now is HBO Max, and the movies and TV shows all around. So yeah, maybe he will keep. What's his name?
I can't remember. The actor's good.
Yeah, Johnny Lawrence. I can't remember his name. But also Keanu Reeves mentioned that he would love to go back to do Constantine. So
it was a good role for him.
Yeah.
And I'm not one to object to Keanu Reeves. Just on principle. But also Zatanna, like, she has not gotten a lot of attention in live action.
Yeah.
Anything.
She always shows up.
She had, like,
up.
A little bit in Smallville.
Yeah. And it's really always, like, you know, basically to show her on her interesting outfit. But, and fans love it, by all means. We all love it. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, they never go deep into the character.
Not really.
Yeah, her relationship with her father and the whole magic stuff. If you read comic books, it's funny because her when she does spells, it's actually words.
Yeah, she just speaks backwards. Yeah. She's actually been featured quite a bit in the DC Superhero Girls series.
Does she?
Like these little shorts that they do. Yeah, which are more comedic. So, by no means, like, an in-depth, hard-hitting look at her character, but it's still nice to see her. Yeah, and she's got a lot to offer.
And it fits really well into the animation realm, since her mm-hmm. looks are very... She has the looks.
Tuxedo fishnet.
And she has the looks to it's super visual, not only for the show, but mm-hmm. of course to sell toys.
Oh, sure.
You know, so.
Sure.
In a kids show, you know, that's mm-hmm. that's a big thing.
It is.
Is it all about Zatanna and Constantine? Because J.J. Abrams and Mad Robot and his gang of mm-hmm. merry men. Also, and this one is official, they're going to do an adaptation of Dr. Seuss.
What?
Yeah. Is Dr. Seuss, you know what? You know who was it called?
The Places You'll Go?
The Places You'll Go? Yeah, I think that's the one.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, so that's an official one. Yeah.
Okay.
I never read that one, so.
You know what? I don't know that I have.
Okay, good. So it's gonna go for the our either favorite way. Section: movies about books that we didn't never read. Yeah. Okay.
Well, it's not like a big chapter book. It's a short book. We can.
Okay. I still didn't read it. That doesn't change anything.
But it's not like having to read like Dostoevsky or something like that. It's.
Yeah.
It's short. Either way, I'm a huge J.J. Abrams fan. So. Yeah. If he makes it, I'll watch it.
Yeah. Okay. What else do we have?
Squadrons.
Oh,
we got Squadrons today.
We finally received and played Star Wars Squadrons. And
Squadron
is one? Is plural?
No, you're saying Squadrons.
Squadrons. Yeah. Get my phonograms together since... You know, seriously. Phonograms sound as a podcast. If I say wrong, you're gonna say, "Oh, at least on video you can read my lips," and still get it wrong. But sorry. Squadrons. Mm-hmm. And what did you think?
So we haven't played a ton. Like I pretty much made it through the prologue, and that was it.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But so far, it's what I hoped it would be.
Yeah.
I really love how they've... So, I always enjoyed, like, the piloting, the X-Wing, TIE Fighter, whatever, scenarios on Battlefront. And this just takes it up a whole level. So, there's the whole story aspect, which I love, and makes it a lot more interesting rather than just battle after battle.
Yeah.
But, like, the detail of the cockpits and the interface and the control that you have over things like shields and power and... firing and the communications with everybody, and anyway, it's really fun.
Yeah,
it's really fun.
It's the latest on this long tradition of Star Wars starship fighting games.
Starfighter, yeah.
Started in the original X-Wing, the original TIE Fighter, X-Wing versus TIE Fighter, before that Rebel Assault and all that. And some of the characteristics on this one, it's fun. I liked it. The story so far is good. It's the timeline is kind of clunky, but it's about an Imperial, the defect after
the destruction of Alderaan
mm-hmm. becomes a rebellion, and mm-hmm. someone that sees the light of truth and truth shall make you free. So he, anyways, so.
But you also get to go back and forth between you're playing two characters, right? An Imperial pilot.
Yes.
And a rebel pilot. So you get to do something that we don't see in the films, but we do get a lot of the novels where you kind of get into the Imperial mindset. And you get to kind of explore and experience some of these Imperial characters.
Yes.
Which is so interesting.
Combining elements of the classic TIE Fighter, mm-hmm. X-Wing games, you play both. But some of the characteristics of the game include the fact that it's one thing that's kind of clear when you're moving to scenarios is that the game is PS VR.
Oh, yeah.
Ready, so you can use VR, and you can, mm-hmm. it's clearly some of the screens are made for, you put the helmet and move mm-hmm. your head around. And it's focused, is mainly inside the cockpit, like the old classic games. Mm-hmm. So you have the experience of being there, piloting. Yeah.
It's cool. And it's not like the, what is it, like the third person cockpit where you're like outside of the ship and watching the ship. Yeah, like you're in
the cockpit, in the HUD, and you control not only shooting, but you control, you know, how do you, shields and lasers and engines and stuff. And it's fun. We didn't try the multiplayer yet, but so far it's fun.
Yeah, I recommend it. If you enjoy piloting games, if you enjoy Star Wars or whatever, I think this is a game worth playing. I look forward to playing it.
Yeah.
Much more. When the children are asleep. Our 1 year old has gotten very aggressive about taking over the controllers.
Yeah, she,
which is not helpful.
Little R2 is like wants to.
She wants to push all the buttons.
Okay, yeah. So Star Wars Squadrons available for PlayStation 4. It's out there.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Okay.
Join us to fight those crappy...
Yes, the fight continues.
Imperials.
Light the spark. What is it? Light the spark that will ignite the flame that... Anyway.
I think it's just spark that ignites our rebellion. Anyways...
Fast and Furious 9, the fastest, most furiouser, has been moved to Memorial
Apparently
Day.
They're going to space. That's,
what?
Yeah, there's someone in the movie, so they somehow are going to space.
You know what? That makes sense. There's only so much you can escalate.
Yeah. Light
and
of speed.
By the ninth
and
movie.
Flight of sound and then light of speed.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I could see that Vin Diesel.
But so because
hold
of
on. It and they end up in
it's all for the space. Family.
Yeah.
Anyways, cool. The one of the first movies that had they moved this year. It was Fast and Furious, and they moved almost a year, if not a whole year, into 2021. They moved to April. Now they moved to Memorial Day.
That's still a big like summer weekend, summer holiday. So
yeah.
But yeah, time to premiere.
But Fast and Furious moved like was the first one to move. Like,
yeah,
let's move the year. This year's done.
Mm-hmm.
And if anything, was my decision since we learned last week. Black Widow that was supposed to be last summer moved and moved again and moved again and moved again, and it was like yeah, and finally they moved to next summer. Mm-hmm. Because you know what can you do. It's better than releasing on streaming and charging people more money for it. Another one that just got the release date moved again was the latest James Bond movie, 007.
Yeah.
No Time to Die. Or No Time to be Released. It's going to be released in April 20, right?
April 2nd.
2nd, which is 20, less 18. And this movie is the 18th movie plus 7. No, never mind.
Okay.
April 2nd.
Good try, though.
Yeah.
Good try.
27? Is this 27? 26? I can't remember.
Oh, like the number...
The James Bond movie.
Bond movies.
Yeah. So many.
Yeah, it's a huge franchise. Yeah. Cool. In the meantime, while we wait for these films to be released, you can go to pca.eonline.com and vote in the People's Choice Awards.
Yeah.
They just released a bunch of nominations, and they are interesting. Netflix got a lot of love.
During these days that people everywhere is like, you have to vote. So yeah, go vote for your favorite movies and
yes.
TV shows and internet sensations.
Practice. In fact, unlike the U.S. election with this one, you can vote. You have 25 votes per category, per day. So, you can vote over and over and over again for your favorites.
I would have to do some research to understand why they do like that. What's the effectiveness of doing this whole math system with so many votes to distribute, and you can vote daily and, you know.
If it's just a way to increase engagement.
Click farmings in India. I don't know. It's...
Like, to get people coming back every day. I don't know why, like, the 25 votes per category I don't get.
But yeah, that's what I'm talking about.
To get people coming back every day.
Yeah, voting every day, yeah, I can get it. But the fact that they give you, like, this amount of coins to distribute among what you like.
Yeah. And that's the thing. It's not like there's, like, 25 nominations in each category. Like, you have 25 votes to disperse among your favorites.
Yeah.
The ones that stood out to me that maybe didn't get a lot of attention at other awards shows were, like I said, the Netflix movies, The Old Guard, Extraction, and Project Power. But we also saw Birds of Prey is on there. I'm probably going to vote for that one a bunch of times.
What about TV? What they have interesting on the TV
side?
That's
a great question. Honestly, a lot of it is broadcast TV. And
it makes
shows
sense.
I'm not a huge fan.
People, like what?
Like shows. Grey's Anatomy, which is one of those immortal shows. Outer Banks, The Bachelor, Masked Singer. But Tiger King is nominated.
Yeah. It made a impact on 2020.
It did. So I think in a category called The Show of 2020, I think Tiger King makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. But there's also categories for music, pop culture.
Like music or music video?
That's a good question. No, music.
Okay.
Group songs, albums.
And who is that? Taylor Swift?
Oh gosh, let's see. Female artist.
Billie
Eilish.
Yeah.
Cardi B.
Okay.
Lady Gaga.
Okay,
yeah,
the usual.
Miley Cyrus, Taylor Swift, of course. Those are the female artists.
Yeah.
Male artists, we see Blake Shelton, Drake,
Louis
Justin
Capaldi.
Bieber. Yeah, no.
Really?
The Weeknd.
He plays so much in the radio. I would assume that he would be among the popular votes. It's like, I don't know.
Not for male singer. He might have made it into a different...
Huh.
He might have, like, an album or a different one. Anyway.
Maroon 5.
No, I don't see them here.
Really? That's
have
another
they done
one that's...
new this year?
I guess I have to be new, right?
Yeah.
I guess, yeah.
Either way, there's a bunch. And also, going through these categories, just made me realize how long this year has been. Some of these shows feel like they came out, like, a decade ago.
Like what?
Like, oh man, you weren't supposed to ask me for an example. Bad Boys for Life.
Oh, no. It doesn't feel like it was that long.
To me, it feels like it was that long ago.
Well, it's not in the movies, right?
Huh?
It was right in the beginning. It was a... No, we didn't see Bad Boys for Life.
We didn't?
No, we saw Bad Boys 1. We still have to watch Bad Boys 2 to watch Bad Boys 3.
Oh, good grief. Okay.
And yes.
Invisible Man.
And yes, that Bad Boys 1 feels like it was like a long time ago because it was a long time ago.
Anyway.
Will Smith was like
But like even the
young
trailers
and freshy
for it.
And even Princey
okay, yeah.
from Bel Air.
Anyway, Extraction feels like it was forever ago. Invisible Man, we saw that one in the theater.
That one was in the theater.
Yeah.
That was, I mean, it was like the last week's, I think it was if not
it
the,
was
the,
of,
the last
yeah.
week. That in The Hunt.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. Back in that, in the before time.
Yeah.
Was when we saw those, so. Anyway.
Yeah.
Go vote, people, and let your choices be chosen.
Yeah. One last thing, talking about voting, talking about elections, TV had huge numbers with the presidential debate this week, so...
Presidential is a strong word for what happened.
If you didn't have streaming, even if you had, you probably were among the millions of people watching the president debate. If you didn't sleep right away, or went for whiskey, or a gun, or decided that's like, screw it. I'm going to bet. Anyway, so the numbers were big. Just, it's TV. It had numbers. So that's the only thing worth to say.
This is one of the most engaging...
What?
Like, more people watch this debate than other debates.
Oh yeah. Especially because nowadays you have the TV numbers, which mean broadcast TV. Mm-hmm. I'm pretty sure some cable TVs did that too. And also streaming services had available. I know Hulu had it available live. Yeah, and also YouTube and you know, and also and always has the pirate links on YouTube for, you know, worldwide what they call audiences. Yes. Because people out there watching, even if it
bless their hearts.
Anyways, that's it for this week. Anything else?
No, I think that's plenty.
So you noticed that we didn't see any movie this week. Not out in the theaters. Not anything new.
We didn't see anything new.
Yeah, we did see Collateral Beauty, which was quite interesting.
It was.
Yeah, it was a play on the old Dickens Christmas story. And spectral elements or actors elements.
Metaphysical.
I'm not gonna spoil.
Philosophical.
Yeah, with Will Smith, Helen Mirren, Edward Norton, and Keira Knightley, Michael Pena. Is Michael? I want to say.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Michael Pena and others. Kate Winslet.
Kate Winslet. Yeah, yes. It's like stellar.
It's a pretty impressive cast.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And yeah, we recommend.
Yes.
Okay, so I guess that's it for this week, and see you next week when we talk more about pop culture news, movies, TV, video games, and
all the things we use to escape the dumpster fire that is 2020.
Yeah. So keep wearing masks, keep keeping the distance, and if you have a chance, go watch a movie out there. Just feel. Newer options, but there's some classics out there.
Yeah.
Empire Strikes Back is celebrating 40th anniversary at the theater, so you can go see that.
Yeah.
Anyways, may the force be with you.
Live long and prosper.
Oh! This week was this girl birthday, so happy birthday to her, and if you wanted to send her best wishes for her birthday, because you love her. Yeah, again, may the force be with you.
And still, live long and prosper.
Bye.
Bye.